Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
This is the Soundcheck Podcast.
This is Soundcheck. I'm John Schaefer. Singer and songwriter Rufus Wainwright last joined us when his seventh album, Out of the Game, was released. Well, now he's back with a new album, but this one doesn't feature his voice at all. It's the long-awaited recording of his opera called Prima Donna. It tells the story of a famous opera singer who's been away from the stage for 6 years and is attempting a comeback. And it features the voice of the British soprano Janice Kelly leading a small cast in a piece very much in the grand opera tradition. Rufus, great to have you back with us on Soundcheck.
Great to be here.
It is a kind of a small ensemble, but it seems to be kind of it's an intimate story, but this is an opera about grand opera.
Yeah, it's kind of, I think on one hand I wanted to write a bona fide romantic opera, but I also wanted it to be producible in this day and age.
Yeah.
You know, there's no chorus. It's two acts. It's not terribly long. It's under 2 hours, or it's about 2 hours. So it's sort of me inching my way, I guess, into the opera world.
Well, now you grew up, you know, as the son of the late, great Kate McGarrigle and Loudon Wainwright III, you grew up with music in the house.
Yes.
Was there classical music in the house?
Well, on my mother's side, there was. My father hates opera with almost as much of a passion as I love it with. My dad likes baseball. But my mother didn't know much about it per se, opera, but she always loved Glenn Gould, and she used to wake me up in the morning, my sister and I, with the Goldberg Variations, her playing them, actually.
Her playing.
Yeah. I don't know if she played all of them, but she played a lot of them. And there was always an inkling of classical music around in my mother's household.
Yeah. So. Now, your sister Martha's been on the show a couple of times. I guess,
yes,
I've never asked her this, but does she share? Did she? Was she your partner in musical crime?
No. My mother. What happened is that, you know, there was this great rivalry in our home growing up between two tenors, Jussi Björling and Beniamino Gigli, who nobody my age knows about. But they were sort of the big tenors of the 50s.
Lyric tenors.
Yeah. And they were on television, and they were in movies and stuff. So kind of like Mario Lanza or whatever. Or Ezio Pinza. So they were known people in everyday households. But there was always this war between, you know. And that always translated to this piece, Verdi's Requiem, which in itself isn't an opera, but of course is written by Verdi, one of the great opera
super
composers,
dramatic.
and is an opera for all intents and purposes in a lot of ways. And one day my mother brought over Björling's, and that was one of Björling's last recordings and one of Leontine Price's first. And we listened from top to bottom to that piece, and by the end of that 2 hour space, I was a complete opera fanatic. It just totally changed my life.
For you, was it Björling or Gigli?
Well, if I had to have one of those voices, I would have had Björling's.
I agree.
But I think that with there are certain moments that there are tricks. I wouldn't say, I'd say tricks, though they probably weren't, that Gigli had up his sleeve, which certainly had some silver bullets in there.
One of the other great operatic rivalries, of course, at least among the fans, was Maria Callas and Renata Tebaldi.
Yes, yes.
And it seems like your main character here, Madame Saint Laurent, she seems to be cut from the Maria Callas cloth.
Yeah. Well, my opera was actually initially influenced by these interviews of Maria Callas by Lord Harwood, and who was a great music impresario in England. Started the English National Opera, was first cousin to the Queen, and also apparently had an affair with Maria Callas at that point.
Then on, you really become, or you strive to become, a musician. In other words, the main instrument of the orchestra.
Yes.
Which is probably... Not probably, it is exactly the meaning of prima donna. Prima donna would be first woman.
And all this you were learning, really, at the time you first went to Italy?
Yes, I learned that with Maestro Serafin.
So I saw those interviews, and that's where the idea came from. Mm. I knew pretty quickly that I didn't want it to be about Maria Callas. It's not. And so I started to immediately construct Régine Saint Laurent, who was my diva, and I put in a lot of other elements. People like Régine Saint Laurent, Régine Crespin. Sorry, that's where I got the first name. Saint Laurent, I took because that's the name of the main drag where I grew up in Montreal.
The Rue Saint Laurent.
The Rue Saint Laurent. Yeah. And then, you know, people like Jesse Norman and the movie Diva from the 80s.
Oh, right. So with Wilhelmina.
With Fernandez.
Right.
Yeah, so I kind of started to create this character, and some of it, and there's a lot of me in there as well, and my mother. But it was born of Callas.
Well, we meet her, of course,
yes,
right away, yes, scene one,
yes,
where she's meeting her new maid, Marie,
yes,
who will have a surprising role to play as things unfold. Here's a little bit from early on in the opera Prima Donna by my guest Rufus Wainwright. That's a little bit from Act One, Oh, Madame Saint Laurent, featuring Janice Kelly in the role of Madame Saint Laurent, Régine,
yes,
Saint Laurent.
Yes, yeah.
And the maid is Marie, and she's sung by Catherine Guthrie. I notice in the recording, which is on the Deutsche Grammophon label,
yes,
the platinum.
Yes, it's legit.
Yeah.
Legit.
People are not credited as soprano, mezzo, tenor, baritone, anything. They're just voices.
Yes, okay.
Was that intentional?
No.
Okay.
Might have just picked out a mistake. I don't know. I have no idea. I haven't looked at it in that way. I mean, I think that, I don't know. It's an interesting, I'll have to do some research.
Yeah.
Do some research. I mean, I guess for me as the composer, I'm so, you know, attached and kind of enthralled by these different characters as characters that I don't think of them as voice types, but certainly when right now, actually specifically in terms of getting, you know, casting certain productions, you have to be more specific.
Right. Although in this day and age, you have a lot of people who have kind of flexible,
yeah,
and fluid.
Well,
voices.
I think with these roles, there are actually very distinct characteristics. I mean,
Régine is clearly
is
a soprano,
a dramatic soprano.
Yeah.
Arguably sometimes a mezzo-soprano. She has to go pretty low. And Marie is definitely that soubrette, much younger, much more coloratura
yeah,
type singer. So.
Yeah. Everyone's singing in French.
Yes.
Now, you grew up in Montreal,
yes,
but still, that, you know, that was a big decision.
Yes, yes. It sealed my fate.
So, I mean, if you're bringing opera to a new generation, you know, that kind of raises the bar of entry, doesn't it?
Yeah, well, I mean, I don't know. I mean, what happened with me is that I was commissioned originally by Peter Gell, by the Met, to write Prima Donna, and there was a question early on, you know, would this be a musical or an opera? I, of course, wanted it to be an opera, and I started writing it in French. I did have the intention of switching over to English at a certain point, but the music started to come out of the language. And it developed its own inertia, and so I just kept going with that. And I kept thinking, well, if it's in French, it's in French, and you know, the Met can certainly handle that. But then Peter insisted on not being in English, and we had to go our separate ways. And I'm happy for my decision, mainly because what my main the bone that I really had to pick first was orchestration, you know, because I'd been to conservatory. I didn't do particularly well, but I had worked orchestrating, you know, certain pop albums and stuff like that, but I'd never really sat down and done a whole opera, so I had to really focus on that before I could focus on the language issue.
I did want to ask you that, because some of your quote-unquote pop albums, you know, the arrangements have been really kind of lush and almost orchestral. I mean, some of them have been orchestral. So how big a leap was it to go from that sort of arranging to a full-on orchestra?
Well, I mean, thankfully I'd had those touches previously, and so I was familiar somewhat with the form, but there's no comparing it, really, when you actually dig into writing a whole opera for orchestra and voices, especially in terms of things like balance and also like breath control and fingering and all of that stuff. You know, when they're there for over an hour playing, you know, you have to really make it worth everybody's while.
And it has to be performable.
It has to be performable.
You can't fix it in the mix.
Performable, and it has to be performable, and it also has to be challenging at the same time, you know, because they're a pretty picky group, those orchestras, which is why we love them so.
Rufus Wainwright is my guest on Soundcheck. We're talking about his opera Prima Donna. The album has been released, a 2-CD set on the Deutsche Grammophon label, and it is, as we mentioned before, Rufus, an opera about opera.
Yes.
To the point where you actually write an aria from a previous fictional opera for our cast to sing.
Yes, there's an opera within an opera.
Yeah, it's kind of a little bit of what was the Bernard Herrmann opera that in
it's
begins with an S. It's like
Citizen Kane.
Citizen Kane, the opera begins, and it's like he wrote that aria.
Wow.
And, like, people have now actually recorded it. Because it's a fairly serious and very difficult aria to sing.
Yeah. I mean, I think what it was for me is that was actually the first piece that I started writing was the love duet, because I knew that would be, you know, a focal point of the piece. And I borrowed heavily on the French style. In fact, it sounds a lot like a Berlioz piece or something. So that's where the whole language, because I knew that would be in French no matter what.
Right.
The opera within the opera would have to be French, and so that would separate. So that's what started me writing in French, and I just couldn't stop.
Well, so there is this kind of pivotal moment where Regine, our soprano, is being interviewed by Andre, the journalist, played by Antonio Figueroa, and she invites him to sing this duet from the opera that was both her triumph and the cause of her leaving the stage six years earlier.
Yes.
And this is that moment where the two of them sing this this aria from an opera about Eleanor of Aquitaine.
Yes.
This is music from Rufus Wainwright.
Oh,
is a duet, Janis Kelly singing the role of Régine Saint Laurent, the prima donna of Rufus Wainwright's opera of that name, and Antonio Figueroa, the journalist who's supposed to be interviewing her, but instead is realizing a lifelong dream.
Instead, he's just happened to bring along his own personal score of the of Eleanor of Aquitaine, and he... he ends up singing with her in the end. It's a little bit the story of, you know, the Le Renard et le Corbeau, the fox and the crow. Mm. You know, just trying to get this. He wants the piece of cheese.
So I know you're already working on another opera the Emperor Hadrian.
About the Emperor Hadrian, yes.
Will there eventually be an Eleanor of Aquitaine opera? I mean, you've already made a start. It would be a great idea. She's a great star.
No, she is a great. I mean, if you think of whatever, A Lion in Winter, that's Eleanor of Aquitaine, I guess, as
okay,
well.
Okay, yeah.
I'm doing Hadrian, which in itself is a huge undertaking. I mean, where I said before, Prima Donna was sort of a chamber piece in terms of the casting. It's only four characters. This next one is, you know, choruses, ballets. There's at least 12, you know, individual parts. So I'm kind of I'm amping it up in that department. After that, I would love to write a comedy because I actually do feel that that's. I only think I have maybe two or three in me. I've started this a little bit later in my life, and I'm 42 now. And also I'm still a pop singer, and I still love writing songs, and I would also love to do musicals and other things. So I don't see myself, you know, abandoning everything to write operas. So I have to be picky.
Yeah. We've heard you sing opera with David Byrne. You guys did
years ago.
Au Fond de Templeçon.
Yeah.
From Bizet's opera, The Pearl Fishers.
Yeah.
Would you write an opera that you yourself could sing in?
No.
That's a pretty definitive answer.
No, but I'd maybe write a musical.
Yeah.
I mean, but not an opera, no. I have a loud voice, but I don't have the capacity to sing over an orchestra.
Right.
I'm not trained for that. So.
Right. All right, so Prima Donna is the current opera. It was produced in Manchester some years ago.
Yes.
Has it... Did you revise it?
Yeah, I mean, it was in London. It was in Manchester and London. Then it went to Toronto, and then it was at BAM in New York and in Brooklyn. And then we've also done concert versions of selections at Royal Opera House and Covent Garden. And then there's a new film that has been commissioned to go with selections of the opera that we're promoting right now that was actually premiered at the Acropolis
in Athens
in September, and it features it's by this artist Francesco Vizzoli, and it features Cindy Sherman in Maria Callas's original costumes. In fact, the painting on the cover is actually Cindy Sherman wearing a Maria Callas dress from La Sonnambula. Anyways, it's that film coupled with selections from the opera that we're doing it in Lisbon and then in Buenos Aires and other places, and so it's making the rounds.
But I mean, once you had a chance to see the first production, how different is what we have on this Deutsche Grammophon?
Not terribly different. I did have to do some edits, and I did have to reorchestrate a couple of passages, but it's actually not that different from what was there before.
And the recording was fan-funded, which is probably a first in the world of opera.
I think it is, and I think it's probably, and I don't think it'll be the last time that occurs in general. I mean, opera right now is under siege. It's not, you just, you know, there's not the kind of funding and the kind of support and sadly the kind of audience that existed. So I feel that the way that I've gone ahead and done this, and also with the help of Deutsche Grammophon, who've come, you know, who've helped me along the way, and who were willing to join me on this venture, and we're really blazing new territory now because it is, I think opera is a type of beast that needs support from its public, and I think that there's a whole new young crowd which will be willing to help out if they're allowed in and if they're explained a little bit about what's going on.
So when you look out, you know, when you're in the crowd, I was going to say look out from on stage. You're of course not on stage. You're in the crowd with everybody else. Who's around you? Is it a younger?
What's fabulous is, you know, as I said before, we did selections from this opera at Covent Garden,
right,
and in London. And after that, someone told us from the opera house that when they went through the tickets, and they have a way of telling, you know, who's been there before,
right,
and who hasn't.
Yes.
They said about 75% of the people had never been to Covent Garden before, who had come to see my concert of the opera, and so that's a pretty big.
Yeah,
that's a big percentage. So this was never an intention of mine to, you know, save the world of opera, and I don't think that I single-handedly will be able to do that. But it does seem to be somehow feeding into a possible solution, along with others, to do that, which I think should happen because opera's great.
And we were talking before we went on mic that, you know, even when an opera doesn't end well, it needs to end well musically.
Yes, yes.
Yours really does with this, without giving anything away, we see Regine out on the landing, out on the balcony, watching the fireworks. It's a Bastille Day,
yes,
right?
Yes, the whole opera takes place on Bastille Day, which is, you know, once again, very, very touching these days to think about.
Yeah. Well, let's hear those final moments from the opera Prima Donna. It's beautifully orchestrated. The percussionists are...
they got their hands full here.
This is from Rufus Wainwright's opera called Prima Donna. That is a little bit of what is called brief fireworks music. Nice of you to give us an English title towards the end of this opera. Prima Donna by Rufus Wainwright, the BBC Symphony Orchestra, conducted by Jace Ogren in this Deutsche Grammophon recording. As we said before, it's a small, intimate story, but this is kind of a grand conclusion.
Yes.
It's a big sound here.
Yes, yes.
Did you write this last, or did you have this?
Yes, I had melodies, but I wrote this from top to bottom. So I think by the time that I got here, I knew that it had to be something special. So I worked on that. This new opera, Hadrian, I'm doing very differently. I'm writing certain parts. And orchestrating them before I get there. I need somewhere to get to. but it's a different strategy. When you're dealing with the Roman Empire, you have to be a little more sneaky.
Well, you know, I've often heard it described the way filmmakers make movies. You know, they don't start at scene one and end at the end. Very often it's...
Well, this one I did start at scene one and end it in, because it was also, as I said before, it was my first experience with orchestrating a huge work. And so what I think is also interesting about this opera is you can hear me learning as I go along. It seems to get more focused as it goes along, and I knew that would be part of the dramatic structure of the piece.
Well, I mean, you know, the orchestration by the end is completely confident
and
convincing, and you know, it's a great way to leave it. Prima Donna is the name of the opera, the first from Rufus Wainwright, although, as we've already heard, not the last. When will we hear Hadrian?
2018.
Because that's how the opera world works.
Yeah, yeah. Canadian Opera Company.
All right, Rufus. We'll see you then, if not before. Thanks very much.
Thank you.
Soundcheck is a production of WNYC in New York. Find out more about our show at soundcheck.org or just download the new WNYC mobile app. I'm John Schaefer. This is Soundcheck.